When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
LSU, Iowa, UConn, USC, women's game. Crushing it right now. We'll have those two games tonight on ESPN, 7 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Eastern, back-to-back. Plus, check out at UnsportsESPN. You'll get some of our social media and our videos, of course. And you can listen and watch the show here on ESPN Radio and ESPNU, presented by Progressive Insurance. A lot of conversation about the men's Final Four as well, with the resurgence of the big men, right? That's kind of how we're looking at this, with the big men in the men's game. They are back, and they are all contributing to their teams going in to the Final Four coming up this weekend. Speaking of big guys, Damian Woody joined us, ESPN NFL analyst, and discussed the New York Jets and their big move to get Hassan Reddick over the weekend, the pass rusher from the Eagles.
Man, you want to talk about pushing your chips all the way in? That's pushing your chips all the way in. Okay, Hassan Reddick is one of the best pass rushers that we have in our league. Talking about four straight years of double-digit sacks. I mean, he's one of the best pass rushers in the game of football. So as much as Jet fans were like just crying about losing Bryce Huff, and Bryce Huff is a really good player, Hassan Reddick is on a totally different level.
So he said they're pushing their chips to the middle of the table and going all in. Amazingly enough, nobody has said that one time about the Dallas Cowboys this offseason, a team that actually tried to make that their mantra. There was another team that made that their mantra back in 2011, and that would be the New York Giants. CeCe was on that team, and they won a Super Bowl when they went all in. Dallas Cowboys have not done that. So if we look at the Jets, and we're all in agreement, guys, that they are going all in, who else is on that all-in list along with the New York Jets right now?
Well, just a quick look around the landscape of the NFL. The first team that pops out to me is the Atlanta Falcons.
Hello.
When you go out and you bring in Kirk Cousins and you feel like you're a quarterback away and you go out there and you land the biggest fish that's out there on the market, in addition to some other moves that they made, I would say the Atlanta Falcons certainly pushed all the chips in. They realize that they have an opportunity to win that division. That division feels wide open despite the success that Tampa Bay had last year, and they're going for it. They really pushed all the chips in.
Yeah, I mean, they got Kirk Cousins, and they added three more receivers to the roster when you consider bringing over Darnell Mooney from the Bears, Rondale Moore from the Arizona Cardinals, and then they added Ray McCloud. So, I mean, yeah, this is a team that's going all in. Another team to think about is the Baltimore Ravens. They only made one free agent signing, but that was a doozy, and that was bringing over Derrick Henry. I mean, quite literally and figuratively, one of the biggest signings that we've seen to date. So, I mean, that's one of the teams that I had on there. I also threw in the Detroit Lions as a team that's going all in. And, again, you're talking about a really complete team that didn't have a lot of needs, but their needs on the back end of that defense, that secondary, they addressed them in a big way, trading for cornerback Carlton Davis earlier in the offseason from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, somebody that has championship pedigree. They brought over Marcus Davenport and DJ Reader up front. I mean, and then they added Amik Robertson from the Las Vegas Raiders. So, I mean, that's a team that's added four new starters on a defense that was in the conference championship game a year ago. So the Detroit Lions, another one of those teams that I think is going all in.
I'll give you another one. We've never seen this team that I'm about to mention do this in the last decade plus. How about the Green Bay Packers? Josh Jacobs, Xavier McKinney. They never, famously, they never add by way of free agency. I mean, Mike McCarthy in his interview with Adam Schefter about his days with Aaron Rodgers recently said, I'm used to not adding in free agency. And the Green Bay Packers this offseason, by just simply getting two high-priced guys, even though they cut Aaron Jones en route to that, right? Now on the Vikings, another team CC has mentioned, that's more than they've done in a decade, guys. Like, really, since Julius Peppers and Charles Woodson in terms of free agency with the Green Bay Packers.
Because just like what Damian Woody said about the Houston Texans, the Green Bay Packers realized that they hit on Jordan Love and they need to build around him and try to capitalize on this window that they have with him. Both of those teams, the Houston Texans and the Green Bay Packers, I think most of us emerge from the postseason saying, watch out. Not only are they here, but they're coming again and again with those two guys at quarterback. And I love the moves both of those teams have made to fortify themselves or those quarterbacks.
Yeah, but I'm more bullish on the Green Bay Packers than I am the Texans just by virtue of the conference that they play in. Think about all of the monsters that CJ Stroud has to deal with in the AFC. Mm-hmm. I mean, Patrick Mahomes is that dude, but then you got Joe Burrow, then you got Lamar Jackson. I mean, you got Josh Allen that you have to contend with, Justin Herbert now that he's got a real head coach in Jim Harbaugh. I mean, there are a lot of tough quarterbacks. Trevor Lawrence with the Jacksonville Jaguars. There are a lot of tough quarterbacks that he's going to have to deal with in that conference, whereas it feels like it's a little more wide open for Jordan Love. I mean, there's a short list of quarterbacks that you would even consider putting ahead of Jordan Love. That's just the state of affairs when it comes to that conference. But I also think that speaks to how good Jordan Love is as a quarterback.
You just brought something up really interesting. CeCe, if you look at the AFC, I'm looking at it right now in terms of, you said you have more faith in Love than you do, or the Packers than you do the Texans because of the conference. There are so few teams in the AFC that I would write off right now for the playoffs. I think I'm writing off two teams right this second for the playoffs, and that's it.
Can I ask y'all a question? And I appreciate what you're saying, Ev, and I don't want to divert the conversation somewhere else. You're right about that, the depth of the AFC. Yeah. But just thinking about the quarterbacks in the NFC, who are you taking in front of Jordan Love?
In the NFC?
Yeah.
I mean, I would take Brock Purdy still, but you guys are probably disagree
I definitely
with me.
Would not.
I would.
The way you said that, I definitely would not.
I definitely would not. But mad love for Brock Purdy. Great season, but I just think...
Doesn't sound like it.
I just think I've seen more out of Jordan Love in elevating his team than Brock Purdy. And I don't want to go down this road because I don't want to have to discount what Brock Purdy has done.
Yeah,
what he
you.
Is and what he's done.
I got you.
I would... Oh, this is a really tough question because I'm looking at it and initially I'm like, okay, well, Jared Goff has been to a Super Bowl and an NFC championship game.
Respect.
But there's just something about...
Do I think that the Detroit Lions can't get back to the conference championship with Jordan Love as their quarterback?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Dak Prescott has certainly had a bigger body
of
work.
Second team All-Pro.
Yep.
Do I think that Dak Prescott is head and shoulders above Jordan Love? If I put Jordan Love on the Dallas Cowboys, do I think that the Cowboys have the same ceiling? Or do I think they have the same... Let me say that differently. Do I think the Cowboys have the same floor? I do.
Not only that, Jordan Love went into their house in the playoffs.
And smoked them.
Yes. And there's something certainly about the way that he performed when the stage was the biggest and the lights were the brightest that yeah. I'm taking into account here. Matt Stafford at this stage
in his
career?
I would take Jordan Love. You got more runway.
Yeah. Those are the only ones.
Wait. When you say more runway, are we saying for this year? Or are we could say it
for this year. We could say it for the long term. I just have more confidence that what I saw from Jordan Love is going to be replicated this coming year than what I saw from Matt Stafford. At some point, Matt Stafford is going to fall off, and that point could be this year. We're talking about a quarterback that we're not sure is going to be around beyond 2024.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the thing. Matt Stafford last year was so much better than we all anticipated it would be. And it's only because we heard about all the retirement talk, right? So the moment you hear that, I assume, CeCe, in your locker rooms, that the moment you hear a guy talking retirement, you think he's done. Like, all right, like that guy's got one foot out the door. I don't know that we anticipated a 24-touchdown, 11-interception season from him with the development of young players around him, Kyren Williams and Puka Nacua, right? Like, I don't know that we anticipated that. So you do have to wonder, does Stafford have, like, new life here? Is he revived a little bit in terms of, like, oh, I kind of like playing with the young guys? Remember there was that whole thing where his wife said he's not interested in playing with all the young guys, and there was a whole controversy around that.
He couldn't relate to them.
Yeah, exactly, Smalls. And, like, it doesn't feel that way now, obviously. I'm still going to be a believer in Stafford until I don't have to be or I shouldn't be. I guess the point is, it's a handful of guys, if even a handful, and you may not even need the full hands.
I don't think it's a handful of guys. I mean, Jordan Love was second in the NFL in passing touchdowns and top 10 in QBR.
He's great.
He's here, man.
He's
here.
Great.
He's here, and he's only getting better. Again, he quarterbacked the youngest playoff roster in 50 years.
And they should have beaten the 49ers.
And they should have beat the, that's what I'm saying. On the road, he should have beat the 49ers. Yep. Like, and he blasted the Cowboys on the road in his playoff debut. Mm-hmm. Like, if you're going through the list of quarterbacks in the NFC that you would take on Jordan Love, I mean, I'll maybe give you Matt Stafford for this year.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's the list. That is the list. Like, the quarterbacks that are definitively above Jordan Love, head and shoulders in the NFC. We're talking about one person.
You're not going to throw Jalen Hurts in that conversation?
No. No. I'm not. I don't think Jalen Hurts is definitively better than Jordan Love. I don't.
And no, just to throw it out there, no Baker Mayfield, no Kirk Cousins?
No.
Yeah.
I mean, guys that can be mentioned. Dak Prescott, Jalen Hurts, Jared Goff. We mentioned Cousins and Mayfield just now. Stafford, and then obviously Purdy. I mean, those are the guys that could be
but
mentioned.
But I guess my point is those are debatable. It's all a debate. Like, here's the thing. When it comes to C.J. Stroud and the AFC, because that's how this conversation started, there is no debate. Patrick Mahomes is a better quarterback than C.J. Stroud.
Yes, correct.
He's a better quarterback than C.J. Stroud is right now. I think Lamar Jackson is a better quarterback than C.J. Stroud is right now.
Yeah.
Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, those are better quarterbacks than C.J. Stroud right now. You can say that. I can't say that with any of those quarterbacks in the NFC relative to Jordan Love.
So go back to the AFC thing because we hit on it a little bit. But this is all part of the all-in, right? The all-in and who has a chance to go far because of the all-in. And you said, all right, Houston's all-in. Or Damian said that as well, Woody, to us. But how far can they go? And I responded, CC and Smalls, to what you guys said by saying I think there's two teams right now it's hard to envision in the postseason in the AFC, and that's it.
Is it? The Patriots and the Broncos?
That's correct.
Yeah.
Because if you believe Levis is good, he doesn't have to be great with Tennessee. They've added so much around him.
I just don't see it in that division, though.
Okay, that's fair. But, like, you're not writing them off 100% yet, are you?
Yeah, I'm writing them off. I'm writing Tennessee off. I'm probably writing off the New York Jets in that list, too.
Interesting.
Really? Even despite the moves that they've made? Because they're the Jets.
They're the Jets.
I understand.
I'm writing them off.
The Colts?
I struggle with the Raiders, too. I'm interested to see what they do in their draft. I struggle with the Raiders. I'm not ready to write the Colts off yet. Just like I like what they've done. They've got Anthony Richardson, who everybody in that building absolutely loves.
They love him.
And then they got Joe Flacco as their backup quarterback. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I'm not writing off the Colts just yet. But, yeah, I mean, I'm with you, Ev. There are probably only three or four teams in the AFC that you can write off or cross off the list in terms of actual playoff contenders. I mean, that's how deep that conference is.
We have an entire division that you can't write off in the AFC North. Like, literally the entire division you could see making the playoffs, which is just remarkable. We're on Sportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance. Your small business keeps you on the go. Progressive Commercial Insurance keeps your policy within reach. The easy-to-use mobile app is available for you. Learn more at ProgressiveCommercial.com. Coming up, all the
small things
next on ESPN Radio.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus. Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do, big, small. And when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had, happened in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
It is time for All the Small Things here on Unsportsmanlike alongside Super Bowl champion Chris Canty and Evan Cohen. I'm Michelle Smallman here to give you some news and nuggets. There's just some things I liked or didn't like in the world of sports from the weekend. And of course, I have to start with Illinois-UConn. My Fighting Illini, Elite Eight game versus UConn.
Didn't do too much fighting in the second half.
Okay, that is correct, but we didn't have to point it out. That is correct. A 30-0 run for UConn. Unbelievable. I was just watching.
Like, what's happening? What's going through your mind as it's going down and it's a 30-0 run?
I'm just totally numb. I don't even think anything was going through my mind. It was just a blank canvas of pain. I just thought, you know what? I believed again. It doesn't matter if they're in the national championship game, a number one overall seed. They get to this point the first time in the Elite Eight since 2005. Best offense in the country. They're having fun. They're super soaking each other with the water guns after the game. They're doing the synchronized push-in with the chair and the post-game. I'm like, they're loose. They're having fun. This is great. Yeah, they ran into a buzzsaw in UConn. Their coach Hurley said that team was bulletproof, and I think he's absolutely correct. Now, I was in Boston for the game. When you enter TD Garden, there's a big sign that says, "Welcome to Stores North." And heading into the game, I was like, it's about to be Champagne East, am I right? Like, hey, oh, they're so cocky. Hey, they're so confident. It was Stores North. It was a UConn home game in the arena. It was absolutely insane. And Dan Hurley talked about UConn fans and how vocal they've been during this tournament after the game and why maybe other fan bases don't necessarily love Huskies fans. Here's what he had to say.
We've defied the odds this year, you know, just with past champions and losing everything that we lost from last year's team and having this giant target that we've carried the entire year, the UConn target, plus the defending national champs target. You know, plus we're a program, our players have a lot of confidence and a lot of swagger, and our fan base, again, is obnoxious as on social, so everyone hates us. And it was a chance to celebrate with them because, you know, our fan base and our organization right now, you know, it's an us against the world of college basketball, and I wanted to celebrate with them a little bit.
So he says their fan base is annoying as bleep on social media, and that's part of the reason why it's UConn versus the world. And while I really applaud Coach Hurley for having the self-awareness that UConn fans are a bit insufferable, I kind of would be too if that was my team, if they were that dominant.
Yeah.
Doesn't every fan base have a section of Twitter that is just insufferable and annoying?
Every fan base does.
Every fan base
especially at a program that matters like UConn.
Yeah.
But I don't know that you could play the us against the world card when you've won five championships since 99. Like,
That's a good point.
On, dog. Is it really us against the world? Everybody, quite literally everybody at ESPN picked UConn to win the national title.
I only didn't because I picked Illinois because I'm a homer.
That's it. You went to the school.
Correct.
Well, how is it us against the world?
So Smalls, when you were there, not to relive this, over the weekend on Saturday, did you realize, because sometimes when you go to games, you don't realize the specific moments and stats like you do when you're watching it or listening to it. Did you realize that UConn was on a 30-0 run, that the game was tied at 23-all, and that end of the first into the second half, that your team had not scored before UConn scored 30 in a row?
Oh, we were acutely aware of the situation, Evan. Acutely aware. And it wasn't just because I was watching the game and I was watching the points for UConn go up and up and up, but where we were sitting was kind of in a little enclave of UConn fans. And trust me, they made sure that we knew that it was 30-0, that run. Oh, man, that was so brutal.
And on the, well, what you missed on the broadcast, Stan Van Gundy was on the Turner broadcast for it. He was very critical of Brad Underwood, and fairly. Like, why are you continuously going at Donovan Clingan? Why is that the game plan? Because he's destroying you. 22 points, 10 rebounds, 5 blocks, 3 steals, in all of 22 minutes! That's all he played.
I'm so glad you brought that up, Evan, because that's what I was saying in the game. And you know I love Coach Underwood. But they were 0 for 19 on shots contested by Klingon. I was like, you might as well nickname him the Moat because you can't get to the hoop. He is blocking it. That's clearly not working. Why don't we make some in-game adjustments? But they didn't. And it was painful. It was painful to watch. But I just thought that was interesting that Coach put that out there about his fan base on social media, because I was like, isn't every fan base annoying on social media?
Yes.
Like, I don't think we
Who's
can name...
Who's the most annoying fan base on social media,
though? Wow, that is a really good question.
Like, the Yankees fan base is a little bit annoying. After a four-game sweep of the Astros to start the season, people were just talking about the starting pitching and, oh, I don't know, this team is going to come back down to earth. The season just started.
Yeah.
And we're 4-0 against a team that we hate more than any other team in all of baseball. What is there to be mad about if you're a Yankees fan after this weekend? I don't get it.
I'm going to have some self-awareness here, just like Coach Hurley. Cardinals fans are the worst on social media.
Okay.
It's embarrassing. There are certain accounts that just chronicle how embarrassing Cardinals fans can be on social media.
Yeah.
But I don't know, maybe Boston? Because they're never happy about anything.
What about Cowboys fans?
Cowboys fans?
Can I nominate one? So in our lifetime, we have not seen this team win a championship, and yet anytime this team does anything, their fans feel like they won a championship. How about Knicks fans?
Really?
Knicks fans on social media. I don't know. I feel Knicks tape. Like, oh, we won 4 in a row. Julius Randle's the best player in the sport. And he's
no,
not even
no, said no Knicks fan ever.
No, well, Knicks okay, fan, bad Knicks example. Fan, Jalen Brunson.
Jalen Brunson MVP, yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. I feel like Knicks fans are pretty up there.
What about Heat fans?
Heat fans, we get ripped a lot.
Heat culture.
Amber Wilson, come on now. Come on, Amber.
Oh, I love Amber because of
come
it.
Come
exactly
on,
right.
Amber Wilson.
By the way, second place, Amber Wilson, in our bracket challenge behind. You know who's in first place?
Myron Metcalf.
Myron Metcalf.
You know who else? And I'm going to say this. It's not Miami Dolphins fans. It's Tuanon fans.
Oh.
They're up there.
Tuanon people on Twitter. Social media, you got to watch out for them Tuanon people. Like, that is a whole sect in and of themselves. They're a cult. Like you cross the Tuanon people, you're going to hear about it for weeks.
You know who else I'm going to throw in there? And we got a whole heap of them during this football season, particularly the postseason. Bills Mafia.
Bills Mafia, yeah. Bills Mafia.
Oh, yeah, they hated us.
They hated us
for a while. Yeah, that's a good one.
Until they realized that we were right in the divisional round. They realized we were right.
I'm going to throw one more in there. Cleveland Browns fans, very vocal on social media.
Browns. Oh, I don't think they're bad, though. I don't know. Like, not like the Bills fan. I agree with you on the Bills one.
Yeah. Is there anybody else that we're missing?
I was thinking Ohio State, maybe. I was thinking there's got to be some college football program that's been good for a long time that's very chirpy and vocal on social media. Yeah.
Can I flip the script on you before we get to the next thing and all the small things? Like, we just came up with a list of like 10 teams that are bad on social media. Is there any fan base that you just sit there and say, you know what, I kind of like them. They have a good approach on social media. They're fair and reasonable. Is there a such thing as a good fan base on social media?
Packers fans.
I was going to say Packers.
Really?
Packers fans, yeah.
You know who I kind of
Midwest
love?
Midwest Nice. I don't know.
Detroit, the Lions fans.
Detroit, yeah.
They've suffered through so much. It just felt like they were so pumped and happy.
It's Detroit versus everybody, yeah. But they don't have any illusions about who they are.
They're more nervous than anybody else
exactly.
about the state of their team.
I'm with you on
even
that
though
one.
They're good.
Like, I like Detroit. Like, anybody that's rooting for the Lions, I like that.
Me too. Like if you're a Lions fan, I'm on your
side.
It's
like, how can you hate on the Lions? They've been bad for so long. They deserve to be good once in a while. This is their once in a while.
I agree with that. Yeah. I don't know if there's any
other. Plus, it's probably good for us to say that because we're going there for the NFL draft.
That's right. I'm so
yeah,
excited.
So it's probably in the best interest of our show to say we got a lot of love for
Detroit. We love the 3-1-3.
There you go.
Okay, next. Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese. We've got Iowa, LSU tonight in the women's tournament. Obviously, this is a massive matchup, if I could get that alliteration out of the way. We know that these two programs have history. We know that Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark obviously have history from the title game last year. And they talked about this trash talk that they have between the two of them. But Angel Reese says it's not personal between she and Caitlin Clark.
I think people just take it like we hate each other. Like, me and Caitlin Clark don't hate each other. Like, I want everybody to understand that it's just a super competitive game. And, like, when I get between those lines, like, we're not friends. We're not buddies. I'm going to talk trash to you. I'm going to do whatever it takes to get in your head the whole entire game. But I don't think people really realize that, and that's fine. I'll take the villain role. I'll take the hit for it, but I know we're going women's basketball, and if this is the way we're going to do it, then this is the way we're going to do it. You like it or you don't.
Guys, the fact that Angel Reese had to even talk about this and Caitlin Clark echoed those sentiments about how much of a competitor she is and how the two of them go at it on the court is driving me nuts. It feels like because they're women and we're talking about women's basketball that they have to defend themselves and they're trash talking with one another. These are serious competitors. This should be embraced and be part of the game. Michael Jordan is the GOAT, and one of the reasons we love Michael Jordan is because he trash-talked everybody. We exalt him because of that part of his game, that he can talk trash to opponents and back it up. I just don't like that they had to come out and even address this at all.
To be continued, Smalls, because Andrea Carter is going to join us next, college basketball analyst, and she will break it all down for us, and we'll bring that up to her next. It's Unsportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Huge night tonight, women's college hoops. Number 3 LSU, number 1 Iowa, number 3 UConn, number 1 USC. 7 p.m. Eastern and then 9 p.m. Eastern, all on ESPN. We are on Sportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance, along with Michelle Smallman, Chris Canty, Evan Cohen with you. And joining us now, she is a college basketball analyst. She's phenomenal at what she does. It's awesome that the world knows what our show knows, and we've been hyping up for months now since we started how great Andrea Carter is, and she joins us now here on Unsportsmanlike. Andrea, the first thing we want you to do is react to this point. Michelle Smallman has a passionate plea to all fans and media out there. Smalls, give Andrea your plea here because it makes a ton of sense and we need to follow your lead, at least from our perspective.
Yeah, Andrea, we would love to fold you in on this conversation. I was just talking about how Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark address the fact that they don't hate each other off the court, but that they're fierce competitors. And when they're on the court, when they're in between the lines, they're going to trash talk one another. And I was a little bit upset that they even had to address it because when we're talking about men's competition, we exalt the trash talk. It's part of the game that we love. And I hated that they even had to address that or defend it in any way. Am I on target here or am I off base?
You're on target. You're absolutely on target. I do love that they addressed it because clearly it needed to be addressed because people can't wrap their mind around two women trash talking and then still being cool after. And I remember on teams, like I remember having coaches in the past when I was on the exact same team, they'd be like, hey, on men's teams, they can trash talk each other in practice and then be cool after. Women can't do that. Women need to figure out how to do that. Women have figured out how to trash talk and be cool after, whether it's with their own teammates or whether it's with their fierce opponents and their biggest competition literally lining up across from them. So I love that it was addressed. I hope it never has to be addressed again because they are 100% right. And it's so interesting to me, people that love Caitlin and hate Angel or love Angel and hate Caitlin. Like they are both so similar in their status, in the way they impact the game, in their trash talk, in their impact on the court. Like it's so fun to watch them play and people get so bent out of shape about them talking trash to each other when it's so good for the game. Like it's good for young kids to see two strong women talking trash to each other and enjoying it. Like, it's so good. So you're right. I hate that they had to address it, but I love that they did. I hope they never have to again.
Andrea, staying with LSU, a week ago, head coach Kim Mulkey found herself defending herself against an article that was poised to come out in the Washington Post. Ahead of her Sweet 16 matchup against UCLA on Saturday, the article came out. Wanted to get your reaction overall to what the Post outlined about Kim Mulkey and in the state of LSU and the run that this team has gone on through the tournament thus far.
I'm not going to lie to you. When I came into work after the day that the article was released, all of my colleagues said there was nothing in it that we didn't already know. So I didn't read the article. I actually think that whatever either Kim or her people thought was going to be in the article wasn't in the article, because there was nothing in there that hasn't already been said from what was told to me. Again, I did not read it. That thing was long. I'm not reading it. Like, as soon as I found out there wasn't anything new, like, it's the busiest time of the year. I'm not reading that. It's too long. So for me, I didn't read it, but also, like, this is an LSU team that has found ways to thrive in chaos. And, you know, one thing that Kim Mulkey said was, listen, our team, they're celebrities. They always have distractions. Like, this isn't a distraction. Our team's going to be fine. And so while they haven't quite put all the pieces together on the court at times, they have still found ways to win. So I think it's you know, it's impressive that this team, the one thing that LSU doesn't need is a bigger chip on their shoulder. And for some reason, people keep finding ways to put bigger chips on the LSU Tigers' shoulders. So I think if anything can galvanize and pull this team together, it's chaos. It's haters from the outside. It's people that feel like they know them when they don't. So this, to me, was just an opportunity for LSU to pull together even more like we've seen them do in the past.
Andrea, is there an argument that there's more anticipation for tonight's game than there was the national championship game between these two?
There is an argument for it, because this is the rematch of the national championship. Like, last season, it was just so amazing what Caitlin Clark was able to do. There were expectations, but not these type of expectations on Caitlin Clark. So her limelight, her, the eyes that are on her, all of that is expanded from last season. And there are more eyes on Angel Reese and the LSU Tigers, because they just won the national championship. They've had an up-and-down season, and both teams are trying to get back to the Final Four, where people weren't even sure if they were going to make it last year. And there have been questions about if either team would make it this year. So I do think that you could argue that this game has more buildup than last season. Even though last season was for the national championship, I get it. That's the ultimate goal for every team in college sports. But the fact that we know these two teams, we saw them last year. It was a lights-out game. Caitlin put up 30, but LSU still won. Like, there are just so many storylines that go with this game this season that make it feel so big.
Andrea, staying with this matchup, LSU-Iowa, obviously when LSU is game prepping for this one, they're circling Caitlin Clark. How do they attack her? How can they slow her down?
Yeah, it was interesting, and the LSU players that did their media recently, they talked about it. I think it was Flage who said, you can't stop her, you just have to contain her. And last season, in the game, Iowa against LSU, Caitlin took 22 shots, 19 of them were threes. And obviously, Caitlin Clark is a lights-out three-point shooter. You don't want to give her threes, but if you can make her take tough threes, and at times, if you can make it seem like there's no other option for their offense but for Caitlin to settle for a three, you're going to be in a good position if you're LSU. You just have to try and make it as difficult with her as possible. It's hard because you have to balance being physical with her, but you don't want to send her to the free throw line. She's so good at getting to the free throw line. You want to give her space so she doesn't blow by you, but you can't give her too much space where she can get into her shot, right? Like, there are so many things that contradict themselves when you're defending Caitlin Clark. So for LSU, it's staying as disciplined as possible, not getting frustrated when she hits tough shots. Like, LSU has to have an awareness of how great she is. So when moments come and she shows that greatness, a leaner, a step back three-point shot. When moments come where she shows that greatness, you just have to be okay with it. That's what it's supposed to look like. They can't give Caitlin anything easy. They're going to try and make her settle for shots.
Andrea, Caitlin Clark aside, who's the player that's impressed you the most in the women's tournament thus far?
Wow, in the women's tournament so far, there's so many. Like, it's so hard for me to choose. Like, I think what Paige Beckers has been able to do coming off of an injury with a team that is depleted, to say the least,
you know, she's got two freshmen running side by side with her, and Aaliyah Edwards on the inside, and her ability to be so efficient. Now I know the Duke game was a little bit of an anomaly because that game was a rock fight. Mm-hmm. But Paige's ability to put the team on her back, Juju Watkins as a freshman, her ability to manipulate the defense, read the defense, and take over when she needed to. She went 13 minutes without scoring in their last game and then put the team on her back. Flage has been impressive to me because there have been already times where I felt like LSU, the glue to that team was Flage, and she has shown tremendous skill, leadership, decision-making, energy. Like, the impact that Flage has had on both ends for LSU has been extremely impressive. And for South Carolina, just pick one because it's a different Gamecock every night that mm-hmm. leads that team to success. That's what makes that team so good. So I'll go with multiple have impressed me, but those stand out. Oh, wait, Andre, can I give another one?
Yeah.
Because Isaiah James from NC State has been a bucket, an absolute bucket. She had 25 points in the second half against Stanford. She put up 29 against Texas, including 7 threes. So, Isaiah James from NC State, we cannot leave her out because they're going to a Final Four, and we got to give the Wolfpack some credit.
I would argue there's more storylines in the women's college basketball tournament this year than maybe ever before. We've never seen anything like this. It's awesome, and we're going to have it all over ESPN tonight, 7 p.m. Eastern, LSU and Iowa, 9 p.m. Eastern, UConn, USC. Andrea Carter's done a phenomenal job as the analyst with all this stuff, and she has been kind enough to join us today. Have fun all day and all night tonight. It's going to be an awesome one, Andrea. Thank you.
Thanks, friends.
All right, there she is, Andrea Carter. What a night. Oh, my God. LSU, Iowa, UConn, and USC. Tim Legler, America's analyst, is going to join us coming up. But first, want to tell everybody about True Green if you're ready to elevate your lawn game without breaking the bank. True Green has been the trusted choice for over 2 million homeowners. I'm one of them. For over 50 years. Visit TrueGreen.com today and discover the easiest and affordable way to achieve a pro-level lawn guaranteed. Plus, enjoy True Green's verified price matching, ensuring you get the best lawn for the best price. All you got to do is water your lawn, mow your lawn. They're going to take care of the rest. You're having people over for the summer. Oh, is your lawn going to look good? Visit TrueGreen.com and transform your lawn effortlessly. That's TrueGreen.com. Your dream lawn is just around the corner.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
America's analyst, ESPN NBA analyst Tim Legler, is here with us on Unsportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance. Hope all those that celebrate had a great Easter yesterday. Tim, did you? You have a great Easter yesterday?
I had a great Easter yesterday, but Saturday was a different story. It almost went off the rails completely.
Oh, yeah? Why?
Give me 1 minute here for an Easter egg hunt horror story.
Oh, let me settle in.
I'm going to admonish parents because what I saw was disgusting. And I'm not going to say where this took place. I don't want to get to that level, you know, get all this hatred on social media. But I was at an Easter egg hunt Saturday with our two-year-old, and they had it broken down by age group. So, like, this particular time frame was, I think, up to 4 years old. And they had a field, 1,000 little plastic eggs laying around. And so now you're standing around the outside. They're going to, like, wait, do the countdown, and then go, which already it felt little gladiator style, like people are holding there with their standing there with their kids, like it's about to be on. Now ours is one of the younger ones there, yeah, but he understood the concept. I could tell he knew what he was going to do. So he'd go get the eggs, whatever. I didn't know if parents were going out or not. Well, then as soon as, first of all, I saw several people jump the gun when they got down like 2-1 and they released their kid, which is just to me right off the bat. I'm going, are you serious? This is what it's going to be today. So then I'm like, are the parents going? So the parents start going. So now it's just a mosh pit in this field. At the point, I literally couldn't see the ground to see any of the Easter eggs anymore, right? So I'm like, all right. My wife was with her little guy, and he's going around, and he's, you know, doing his thing, man. He's getting his little eggs, putting them in his basket. I saw three or four different fathers gathering up eggs
no.
with two hands and shoveling them into their kids' baskets. By the way, a couple of these kids had baskets the size of shopping carts. And I'm looking, so now the whole thing, I'm telling you, there was 1,000 eggs in this field. The whole thing took 7 minutes. And,
yep.
and they were gone, right? Some kids, 25, 30 eggs. Some kids looking for an egg.
Oh.
And parents not having the self-awareness to understand what this is supposed to be about. And again, it's that whole win mentality, right? We're gonna, you know. So I was like, literally took everything I had not to grab a couple dudes by the neck and just like, seriously, just drag them to the ground and just smushed their face in a pile of Easter eggs. I was so angry at how badly parents missed the point on things at win at all costs mentality with little kids. It was crazy. Our guy did okay, did whatever. When I saw it start, I'm like, oh man, you know, he might get trampled. And he came away with like 4 or 5 eggs is what every kid should have had because yeah. it was like over 100 kids there easily. And I'm telling you, I saw kids with 25 eggs piled up so high that the parents had to carry the basket for the kid and then other kids at the end looking around without an egg.
I didn't know that we were trying to win a competition. Hey,
this is a thing, CeCe.
Where we live
this
in.
Is a thing. I've had this. We got to an Easter egg hunt years ago with my daughter. She's 7 now. So let's say when she was 4 or 5, if it started at 8:30 in the morning and we got there at 8:33, done. Literally not one egg. She left without a single egg. Legs is right. But by the way, don't lose sight. See, this is you have to pay attention with Tim Legler, ladies and gentlemen out there. He's still evaluating his son.
He's doing his thing, son's performance.
He's
oh, yeah.
Yeah, he didn't love his son's performance.
No, but he said he knew his strategy going in. He understood
the
concept.
Didn't love it.
At no point would I have been the guy shoveling eggs. I got pretty big hands. I could have got 8, 10 eggs at a time. Yeah. If I want to go in there like that way. But I just, you know, no, we're gonna let you know everybody fend for themselves out there. Look, you see this all the time. As a parent now, you just feel like so many things, decorum and like respect for other people is out the window in so many cases. And this unfortunately was just another example. Now, we didn't have a little guy in tears, but I did see some kids
Aww.
In tears. And the parents were kind of like explaining it to them. But I mean, I'm just like, what are we doing right now that this would ever be allowed to take place?
I just don't understand why the dads would be there grabbing up all of the eggs when it's the kids' job.
That's the whole point.
It's almost like those are the dads. Those are the participation trophy dads. Like, right. I got to make sure my kid comes away with something.
The fact that we have to now, next year, they have to put obviously big flashing neon signs like 8 egg limit. Like, we got to go there now.
Or how about no parents allowed within the confines of the field?
Yeah, I get it, but there were some, you know, some of those kids were like 18 months old. Like, are they going to know what's going on?
Legs,
right?
You know what? I'm disappointed in you.
Why?
Next year, you need to bring your older kids. You need to have some NILs involved here and get some better participation in this.
Where do
bring
you see?
Bring the older kids in the mix.
No. Next year, I'm dressing up like a 2-year-old. I'm going to have on the pink pants, suspenders, little bow tie, some bunny ears. Let's see, kid. Let's see. Good luck.
I have one quick
I wanted to dox these people. I really did. Yeah. I wanted to dox them.
Well, that's what I was going to ask quickly.
Yeah.
Did anyone confront the dads that were scooping up the eggs with two hands? Because I don't think I could have not said anything. I think I would have been like, hey, I know you're trying to relive your glory days or help your kid in some way, but like, this is not for you.
Not that I saw. And it was really just as shameful. And I actually, there was a couple other instances where I would see a kid like literally, because you know, some of these kids move a little bit slower and like be reaching down for an egg and then like a 4-year-old would swoop in and grab it like right before their fingertips were on it. I saw a couple parents say, hey, you know, that was his. He had it first. I saw some doing it right. And I'm sure there were more than that. It was literally such a crowded area so quickly that I'm sure there was more of those acts of kindness going on than I could comment on. But I don't care because they were overshadowed by the 2 or 3 people that I saw doing what I described. So
let me ask you about somebody that's never overshadowed. That's LeBron James.
Yeah.
Dropped 40 last night against the Brooklyn Nets. His second 40-plus performance in his age 39 season. I'm curious, like, with what he's doing and where the Los Angeles Lakers at, is this a team that's gearing up for a deep playoff run?
It's amazing because I think about, I don't know, maybe 6 weeks ago or so, we talked about the topic, and of course where the Lakers were at the time, the likelihood that they would make another one of those runs that they did last year, where they'd had a mediocre season and end up in the conference finals. And I said that's not going to happen this year because the landmines in the West are just different. Mm-hmm. But think about what's happened since then, right? The Clippers are basically now a 500 team for like the last 6 weeks. Karl-Anthony Towns got hurt. the Phoenix Suns have not gotten it together. Like, those were three teams that figured prominently in thinking that way about the Lakers. So now you look at the landscape in the West and the way that they have played, the seriousness with which they have played over the last month or so. And I'm telling you, if assuming that they get out of the play-in, this is a team that you're going to see people pick them to beat either Oklahoma City or Minnesota. I don't think anybody would pick them to beat Denver. Although with LeBron James, you never know. Some people still might do that. But I think Oklahoma City or Minnesota, I think you're going to see a lot of people think the Lakers could escape something like that. And I'm not sure if they could. I don't have to decide that now. Let's see what it looks like at the time. But there's no doubt that's an interesting conversation now. And it wasn't 6 weeks ago.
Legs, we got about 30 seconds. What did you see from Luka last night?
Listen, if they had about 5-6 more wins, he's the MVP of the league. He's not going to get it. He's not going to get it because it just that discrepancy in the West, you know, you're 6-7 games behind. And they're not, you know, will they get to 50? I don't know. But that's the best offensive player in the NBA. That's the most dominant offensive player, an unstoppable offensive force in the league. And what I saw last night was a guy that came out in a big game, because it was for them, for Houston, for Golden State, who was playing San Antonio. The dialed-in approach he had at the start and his ability to make really good athletes look completely helpless is just mind-blowing to me, how easily he does what he does. And he did it again last night.
Tim Legler, America's analyst, ESPN NBA analyst. He is coming to an Easter egg hunt near you. Invite him. He's very excited to steal from four-year-olds and under.
I'm rolling in with my crew next year. My crew.
He's bringing a crew. Look out for Legs' crew at Easter egg hunt. You'll see him on Get Up and First Take as well. We're Unsportsmanlike.
Thanks for listening to the Unsportsmanlike podcast on ESPN Radio. You can listen to Unsportsmanlike live weekdays from 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on SiriusXM Channel 80. You can also watch on ESPN2 and on ESPNU. Unsportsmanlike with Evan Canty and Michelle.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.